Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hope you had a good Fourth.
Sorry, I'm not hearing you well this morning.
Okay. Wait a minute. Oh, there we go. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's better. That's better.
I'm having a bad morning. All right. it serves me for having a 3-day weekend. How was your Fourth?
It was great. Thank you.
Good.
And yours?
Good. Very good. All right, let's start with kind of a wrap of the 2021-2022 school year. Give us kind of an overview of how things went in the Greenwich Public Schools.
You know, I think we had a wonderful year. We ended on such a wonderful note with graduation at the new Cardinal Stadium, renovated Cardinal Stadium. All of our activities and celebrations were all, and I'm going to say back to normal because that's what the phrase that everybody uses, but it was just a wonderful way to end the year. And, you know, I just really congratulate our students, our staff, our families. You know, you have to really stop and think what it was like back September. And we thought we were not going to be in COVID at all this last year. And then the next variant came and really changed the start of the school year. And I'm just so proud of everything that we pressed through this year. And ended on such a high note. It's just been wonderful. So, you know, very special thanks, especially to all of our educators and our staff who have worked tirelessly over these last really 2.5-3 years.
But not a school year, of course, without challenges. You mentioned COVID, more than 3,000 cases, but also Central Middle School, North Miami School. You know, challenges with those schools, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it seems like so long ago now, but we started the year relocating North Miami to a campus in Stanford, which was no easy feat, actually, and it's half of the building. And so they were there all the way through December. And so that was kind of at the start of the year. And then we had the situation with Central being closed. And we were very fortunate that when that building was closed. It happened to be the week before one of our vacation breaks, so it gave us a little bit longer to be able to reestablish getting the students back in that building and staff very, very quickly. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for Dan Watson and his entire facilities team and the work that they really have done for us, not only this year, but just over the last couple of years. Some of the work has really taken, you know, a tremendous amount of effort to make sure that we have students in school.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does it tell you? What did you learn about your staff and your team with these, you know, pop-up things with the two schools and, I guess, to a lesser extent, COVID and how everything was handled?
I think it just shows that, you know, everybody is really focused on doing what's right for children and young people. And, you know, when we opened our schools in 2021, that was a Herculean effort by everybody. And I don't think most people thought we were going to be able to do it. When we came back this year, again, having to lift themselves up back into a situation that they thought, you know, may be gone. And they were still having lunch in, you know, gyms because they had to social distance. It just took so much flexibility. I think they really demonstrated commitment and commitment to children and teaching and learning. And I think that's the type of person that you want working in the school district. And that's exactly who we have.
All right. So the school year in the books, and I appreciate you coming on during the summertime. Usually we take a break, but always lots going on. So now as you, you know, work toward the new school year, what kind of preparations are being made in terms of obviously safety for the kids in the light of shootings and things like that, but also preparation for a new school year, but probably dealing with COVID again?
Well, first of all, on the safety front, I mean, that's always the number one focus, I think, for any school district. That's the one area that actually takes over student achievement is safety, school safety. So we ended the year by adding extra individuals, police officers at all of our schools. And so we are looking at, as we go through the summer, what we're going to look like in September. And meeting with Chief Heavey, again, having another follow-up meeting to really determine, you know, what is the next pathway for us? What are the things that we need to be doing to enhance? Because we already have a lot that we've invested in safety and security. And we don't talk publicly, again, about some of those elements simply to keep us safer. But we are having those ongoing conversations throughout the summer.
And you're having a summit, I guess, later in the summer. Is that right?
The Capitol Summit?
No, the summit on safety. I guess that's all part of the discussion.
Right. That's all part of the discussion. We do want to have a forum just to for our community, for our parents, especially and guardians in the fall at some point. Yes.
Right. All right. Speaking with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, here on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. This is Focus on Education. And your Teacher of the Year nomination, Western Middle School's Tyler McCazzi. Tell us about her.
Tyler is just a fabulous teacher. I had the wonderful opportunity to sit in her classroom and really observe her teaching, and it was an exciting environment. The classroom was so collaborative. Students were highly engaged in their learning, and they loved it. You could just tell. She was making every student in that classroom love science, and that is not an easy thing to do for any teacher. And when you looked around the room, every single student was engaged. And the day that I was in there, they were very much engaged in hands-on learning, and you could tell it wasn't because I was in the room, because it was so normal for the students. They knew what they were doing, that this is a routine that they do often, which was very telling that this is a teacher who really truly believes in 21st century teaching and learning. And I just couldn't be prouder of Tyler McCazzi. She will be, in the running for the Connecticut State Teacher of the Year, and she's definitely deserving. And I will just say, all of our distinguished teachers this year are just fabulous. But Tyler is the one that will represent us at the state level.
You made that decision. It was your choice. And obviously, they were on their best behavior while you were there. I'm just kidding. But was it? I'm sure it had to be a very difficult decision. But to, as you mentioned, the six distinguished teachers all are distinguished.
It is a very difficult thing to do, and I actually took the assistant superintendent with me, and so that I have somebody to process with about just, what we saw in the classroom, what is it that the state of Connecticut is going to be looking for in a teacher of the year. And it is hard. It's a very, very difficult decision. And it's one that means so much to the person that goes and represents at the state. And there are a few distinguished teachers who don't want to go through that process. And so we don't go and observe those teachers. So just for clarity, this year we had four out of the six, I believe it was, that wanted the opportunity.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe you have another Tony Mullen in the making, right?
I certainly hope that we can do really well.
Yeah. All right. And when is that decided then? Who is the Connecticut Teacher of the Year?
Sometime in the fall. I'm not sure the exact date, but
right,
it's in the fall.
All right, look forward to that. All right, we're speaking with Tony Savino, Focus on Education, with Dr. Tony Jones, Superintendent of Schools, Town of Greenwich. All right, we touched earlier about COVID. Give us kind of the wrap-up for the COVID 2021-2022 school year.
Well, I think you mentioned it early. We finished the year with 3,462 cases. Most of those, or a large portion, were from January through May. We definitely ended the year, where it was going back down again, which seems to be the trend, very similar to like the flu, where it peaks in the winter. I don't know what we'll see next year, but it definitely peaked in the winter. And this is a great time for me to also say thank you to our nursing staff from this past year, and also obviously the last 2.5-3 years. They have really done some terrific work for us, and at points when we're really spiking high in COVID, they were working 7 days a week, especially Mary Keller, who leads that team. And we really could not have had in-person classes in 2021 without their work. And as we came into this year, again, Mary Keller and her team, in working with the health department, with our health safety team, made sure that whatever mitigation strategies we were using, that we were following CDC or the World Health Organization, trying to really help us navigate how to make sure that everybody was safe and secure. And it's not only even about being safe and secure, but it's about the mental aspect for our staff feeling as though they're in a safe and secure environment. And that was just as important from a mental health standpoint. So, we've seen a lot this year. Had we seen 3,000 cases last year with the original COVID, we would have been so concerned. But with the variant really changing, more than one actually during the year, with like Omicron, it's very, very highly transmissible. But the good thing is for most individuals, it's like a really bad cold or, you know, a minor flu. Some people do get sick, but for the most part, it's pretty minor is what we have seen and what we've experienced from staff.
Okay. All right. As we head into the summer, we mentioned the work doesn't stop. In fact, capital projects, you have a lot of things, I'm sure, going on. What can you highlight some of those that you'll be working on this? Maybe not you particularly. Maybe you're helping out with the hard hat. I don't know. But some of the workers at the capital projects in the summer.
We have a lot going on. As a matter of fact, one of the challenges we had for summer school and also with Park and Rec this summer, who use a lot of our facilities, was just finding space because Central Middle School is closed, that building. They're still working on, they've done the shoring up to get us through the spring. They're continuing to do work on that building, so it'll be even a better solution going into the fall. Eastern is primarily closed there, and that's because they're in the third summer of a very large window wall replacement. We also have our main campus at Greenwich High School. The entire high school is closed this summer again for the second summer or third. I'm trying to think. I think it's our second. Next year will be our third. And that's working on soil remediation where they're removing soil and then putting back in the solution, the turf field over the top. We have so much work going on across the district, many, many of our buildings, and from just minor capital projects to some pretty big work. So our facilities team, this is one of their, it is their busiest time of the year. Everything from HVAC projects, you name it, they're working on it. And again, it's been a challenge this summer just because we have so much work going on, trying to relocate summer school and Park and Rec and have space for everybody to run their summer programs. We're all working together because not only are our facilities under construction, but then, for instance, I believe it's Park and Rec that uses the Eastern Civic Center, and so that's under construction, so they needed additional space and to move into school space. So we're all working together across the district.
Mm-hmm. When does summer school begin?
It actually starts this week.
Okay, all right. All right, let's get an update now on all the building committees, the Central Middle School, Old Greenwich, Julian Curtis, Ed Specs, and so forth. I know some have been approved, others are in the pipeline. What's the latest?
Well, Old Greenwich and JC both had Ed Specs previously approved before we went through the budget process. So they have their Ed Specs. The First Selectman's Office is accepting applications for both of those building committees. I believe the deadline is right around July 15th. So if people are interested, they do need to get those applications in. Once they turn in the application, they then, the First Selectman's Office will determine how those interviews will work. They must go for an interview. And then the committee is selected or recommended. And both of those, again, are in the process. They'll go to the RTM. We're hoping in September when those committees will be finalized. Our Central Middle School is in the process with the Board of Ed right now, finalizing the Ed Specs. The committee has been formulated, and they are meeting actually in the next few weeks. So Central Middle School is ready to go and get to work on this really important project that we are trying to escalate the timing of simply because of the state of the building.
When is the board, has the board scheduled a meeting about this?
I'll actually have a phone call probably today where we'll talk about that. It very well could be this week.
I see. And
we've been meeting almost weekly, it feels like.
Right, right. Any word on, you know, if all goes well, when shovels would be in the ground for Central Middle School?
Well, we expect it to take 2 years before shovels get in the ground, and that's part of that is simply because it's just the way the process works in general for the state. Right now, the building committee gets formulated. We then have to design the building. you know, not alone, they have to go out for an architect. They will select the architect, start that work with the architect to start to design to the educational specification. You know, how big is the building? You know, what is the building? Is it going to be two stories? Is it going to be one story? Where is it going to sit on the land? They have a lot of work to do in that first year. Then that gets submitted on or before June 30th. And that's for us, that will be June 30th of 2023. It has to go to the state. And the state will review all the work that the building committee has done up to that point. And then the state will say, yes, this is a viable project, which this project, I don't think we're too concerned about just from the emergency state of the building because it's being shored up. So it'll go June 30th, 2023. Sometime between then and December, we'll get approval to actually start. In that time, during that time, they'll be getting ready to, you know, go out to bid for the project, getting everything ready. And then they'll go out to bid, and then hopefully the shovel will go in the ground that June of 24 once they get everybody hired and in place that's going to do the work.
Now, the need for the building you mentioned, the state may not have a problem with, but the size of the building is something that may be beyond what the state wants. Do you think? I mean, is there concern about that? And, you know, kind of talk a bit about the board has said, listen, we need a bigger school here than maybe what the state would like.
Well, the Board of Education has been studying, really has been studying the size of the building over time. So they've gone back and looked at 20 years. I think some of them may have even gone back, you know, beyond the 20. But, you know, the building tends to sit around an average at high 600s, 700s. And so we happen to be at a low period right now. And what the state asks you to do is to go out with an 8-10 year projection. And they look at that. And it just so happens in the projection with where we are right now, the highest number was 511 students, which is very low for Central. And so what will happen is the state will say that, you know, we can build to that 511. And when they say that we can build, that means we will reimburse the square footage attached to what they say 511 students, you know, would have X amount of square footage. So that's how much they will reimburse. If we build a little bit bigger, and the board is looking around that 700 mark right now, it just means between 511 and 700, the square footage that it takes to add those extra seats in the building will not be reimbursable. But our reimbursement rate in Greenwich is so low that it really, on a magnitude of a building of this size that you're talking about, you know, 120,000 square feet, it's really not a great deal of money. And because our reimbursement is going to be closer to that 8 to 10%, somewhere around in there, could be slightly lower. And if you compare us to, for instance, a community that would be have a very different base than what we have here in Greenwich, they might get 60% or 70% reimbursement. So it would be a much bigger discussion. But again, in Greenwich, it's really trying to be thoughtful and think long-term about the use of the building, because what you don't want is to be right back where we know we have been over the decades with a building that we built for 511 students, and then you end up with 650 or 700 with, you know, classrooms and closets, basically.
Right. Bursting at the seams, as the term goes.
Right, right.
Well, Dr. Jones, unfortunately, we have to wrap things up now because I've got another interview coming up. Again, my bad on this. We couldn't go all the way till 9 o'clock, but I appreciate your time again and again for accommodating us during the summertime as well. Enjoy your month of July, and we'll talk again at the beginning of August.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the month of July.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones on Focus on Education.